Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us in studio right now is TJ Miller. What's up, TJ? Good morning.
You know, I don't know that much about sports because I mostly...
That's okay.
No, but
neither do we
don't know that much.
One of your producers goes, they don't like to talk about sports.
So you're amongst friends.
How are you guys doing this morning? Thank you for having me.
I'm stunned you were doing an early appearance. Whenever we have comedians, they're generally on the last two segments of the show, like in the 9 o'clock hour. Are you hustling?
Why are you such a go-getter?
Why are you such a go-getter so early, TJ? Look at you.
I'm not usually. I guess it's because I passed out on the train up here and just had plenty of sleep yesterday. I don't know. I mean, what time do you guys wake up?
4:20, 4:30.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. No, that's the worst.
It's crazy, right?
But we're done at 10, so then you know you can go home. And,
yeah, exactly. And it's a really fun format. It's amazing. But, the early mornings for comedians are absolutely the worst. I usually say I can't have a meeting or anything before 11 a.m.
Smart. I mean, if you can dictate that, which you can at this point in your career, you should absolutely do it.
I've gotten to a point where, because I still perform stand-up all the time.
Right.
And so we live in Manhattan, and it's like, I'll get done at 2 or 3 in the morning, and I'm not, I get home and I want to hang out with Kate. Like, that's the time I hang out with my wife.
Right.
And so sometimes we go to bed at like 3 or 4. When you're getting up, we're like just winding down to
get ready
to go to sleep.
Because I've seen like your stand up too, and like you're drinking, like you're getting after it. Do you do that every time that you're, you know what I mean? Is that part of the lifestyle?
You know what? Sometimes it's also, I'm up there and I'm making jokes about how I drink Red Bull vodka because I like to be awake when I pass out.
Right.
And, it's just Red Bull on ice or something like that.
Yeah,
but it is weird. There is something that compels me to have a drink on stages because most people can't do that at work. And I don't mean to encourage that for your listeners at work right now. But you know, it is interesting to me that you can drink at work if you're a stand-up comedian.
We have an annual drinking show.
We do it every year.
We bring in cops. We do breathalyzers.
Around the holidays.
We try to act like it's a public service announcement. We're all 47.
But you still blew like a .14 this year.
Yeah, because
I'm strong.
Because I'm an entertainer. And I try to bring it once a year, though. I'm not trying to do it more than
once
a year.
And the other thing is from Silicon Valley, I think a lot of people think that I'm very high all the time.
Right.
And I am not. I was earlier this morning, but I'm no longer high.
And it's worn off.
No, but I think that they think that's just part of the, you know, at the end of the show, they'll sometimes come up and say, so how high were you? And it's like, you can't be high and you can't be drunk because you need to be very quick. And I don't know what it
is.
That's
true. So you really don't drink when you're performing.
I mean, I certainly would never perform drunk because.
A little buzz.
Not even really, because I get heckled a lot. I don't know why that is. I guess I just look like a guy that you want to yell mean things to.
I don't understand that concept. Like, if I go to a comedy show,
because you're drunk. I've done it. You don't mean to.
I
want to
hear the jokes. But if I'm heckling, you turn on information.
Not even heckling. You're just being a pain in the ass because you're
drunk.
Well, I think often you're drunk. And then you want to be a part of the show. So it's for attention. It's this weird thing. I now play the slide trombone in my act.
Nice.
And I do not know how to play the slide trombone.
That's a wacky move.
But so I do this thing where, you know, comedians have a room job that's like, boom, boom, shh.
Yeah.
I give a slide trombone to an audience member who's never played it. There it is. That's exactly it.
Sure.
Wow. See, he brings it.
Two of them.
He's so drunk he can't stay in his chair, but he is right there on the rim shot.
Right.
And so I said, you know, who in here hasn't played the slide trombone? And this girl was so drunk, and she was one of those girls that, and you know, my wife's girls hate these types of girls, but she just was cute enough that she felt very entitled.
Like, I can do this?
Yeah. And so she walked up and tried to get on stage. And so sometimes the heckling is they think they're like helping.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you got to go back to your seat. You're too drunk to even see.
By the way, something you said just triggered a memory of mine, and this was one of your pet peeves of all time. because you said the girl was cute.
Yeah.
Girls with an absolutely pretty face.
You're going to upset people now. You can't say these things anymore.
No. I think
the super pretty face, but then the body doesn't really follow the face.
I don't think... My friend Nick had a joke. I had a joke that didn't make any sense and didn't work, so I stopped doing it. You won't see it tonight. But I was like, she's not a butter face. She's a margarine face. She just has wiped margarine all over her face. But I think it's that idea of it doesn't matter what you look like. It's like certain girls get very entitled, you know, because they're just cute enough. And
just cute enough.
Yeah, exactly.
What number is a just cute enough?
Oh, I won't rate women. I don't believe in that at all. No. Oh, no. I will talk about their look because I'll talk about their looks all day. No. I think it's because, you know, some girls I've met, wouldn't be on the cover of an auto magazine necessarily, but I'd rate them at a 7 or an 8 or 9. If they're hilarious and they're so fun.
Yeah,
they're buying shots for everybody in the bar. Yeah, it's going up.
Speaking of rating women, my first exposure that I can remember to T.J. Miller was She's Out of My League.
Yeah. That was 2009. A Steven Spielberg produced film, if you can even believe it. That's true. Isn't that crazy? It's done by DreamWorks.
And you have one of the great nicknames ever as your character name, Stainer. Stainer. You don't know, I love that name.
That was a period of my life where, for 3 to 6 months, maybe even longer, people would yell out the nickname of the character, which was Stainer. They'd be like, Stainer! And they would just yell it in the middle of the street, and then all these people would turn and kind of be like, did that person just yell Stainer at the other? If you haven't seen the movie, that makes no sense at all.
I don't remember it. It's a funny movie.
No, that's not a bad thing. You know what it is?
It's a knee slapper.
It's a great hangover movie, and so is Office Christmas Party.
Yeah.
You just, any point that you tune in, you know you're going to laugh for the rest of it because it's just... It's a gag-driven film.
The scene where the slightly overweight dude in the movie.
Nate Torrance, hilarious. Lives in Colorado.
He is helping groom Jay Baruchel.
Oh, it's so funny. And here's the thing. So that would have been a really crass, bad joke from American Pie 12 or something. Right. But he did it like a barber. And was so everybody in that film was so funny that they kind of made... what would have been maybe a mediocre comedy. Really, it's really funny. I'll catch it on television and I'll watch the whole thing. It's pretty funny.
I'm not
a guy that looks at my stuff and is like, oh, I can't believe I look so weird and I didn't do that right or any of that kind of stuff. I just kind of watch it and
you can separate it.
Anything, I kind of laugh and I'm like, I can't believe they let that guy in.
Something else you were in.
Especially in Silicon Valley. I was like, look at that.
Because
that
I haven't seen it in a while. You were in Cloverfield as well.
Yeah. And then there was this very strange resurgence because of Cloverfield Paradox, which have you guys seen that or not?
No, it's on Netflix, right?
It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
But there was this sudden resurgence there was the 10-year anniversary of Cloverfield, which I think for a lot of people was a big deal. That movie, that's their favorite movie. And then they did Cloverfield Lane, and that was very good.
That was done, too.
And actually...
Is that John Goodman?
Yes.
Yeah, yep.
And then the young kid in that, the boy, he's in Underwater, the movie that I'm in with Kristen Stewart, and he's really, really good. But so those two movies exist in a parallel universe, okay? And the Cloverfield Paradox, I guess... isn't a good movie is what I'm hearing from a lot of people.
Uh-oh.
And it sort of somehow ruins the Clover verse or something like that.
No.
And they released it without any advertisement or anything. They were just like, here it is.
Right.
Like a Beyonce album.
Good. Did they advertise that during the Super Bowl or something?
Unless it's Beyonce, it is not good. Yeah, exactly.
I think with music it's okay, but with a movie it's a bad sign.
Yeah, I think that's, if you're not kind of gearing people up to watch this thing.
Right,
exactly. But you know what they've said lately?
But then if it just shows up in your queue on Netflix, then
you're
kind of
going, oh boy. And Netflix is making so much stuff right now that some of it you're just like, I'm not going to even waste my time with this.
I watched the Will Smith movie. It was all right.
What was it?
Bright, I think.
Yeah, Bright.
Bright.
Yeah.
And is it him and an alien?
Yeah, it's a sci-fi movie. It's not memorable.
Did you hear the pause there? That pause means that's not 10 stars on your Netflix. No. Yet. Is it him and an alien? Yeah, yeah, it is.
Unfortunately,
I mean, what do you want me to tell you? I didn't have anything else going on.
Pretty much.
Can you stick around for another segment?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me.
We should plug. He's going to be at Arlington Draft House. I think it's Arlington sold Draft out House. Tonight.
Yeah, it's sold out. First show tonight, and then
you need times.
Maybe
help,
but they have 7:30, and then I think 10, maybe.
God,
I'm the worst comedian in the world.
But yeah. I think tickets available
tickets
Saturday.
Available Saturday.
ArlingtonDraftHouse.com. That's what people need to know. TJ Miller hanging out with us. Keep it here.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Happy to be joined in studio by TJ Miller.
Hello, everyone. I'm performing at that's right.
Arlington Cinnamon Draft House this weekend. The Friday shows are sold out. Still some tickets available.
Yeah, there will be
Saturday.
Drafts, but no cinema.
Very little cinema.
Last week, I'm on tour, and last week I did the Off the Hook Comedy Club. Off the Hook.
Nice.
Comedy Club in Naples, Florida. Okay,
right. Beautiful spot, though.
And, but I did maybe. Have to say on all the media that some of my comedy is on the hook. So
yes.
I want to tell people that right now. Not all of it is going to be off the hook. I do promise slide trombone.
Why do you still do the stand-up so vociferous? Like, why do you insist on doing it? Because you're so active acting-wise.
Well, you know, the thing is that, so I live in New York now with my wife, and it just became this thing where I've just felt like I had a shot. I think I have a shot at becoming a really great stand-up comedian, but you've got to put in
the
time.
You got to do it.
You
got to
grind at it.
And my wife is like so busy in New York that we miss each other, but like she's already up and working probably also. And so it's for a while through the end of August, you know, I'm gone on the weekends and then I come back. And I don't know. I like that the audience, sometimes they don't, but I like that the audience gives you that immediate response. I was talking about in the car with Pete that, you know, one of the things is that people stream so much and we're in front of our screens and mm-hmm. all the news that we're inhaling is all terrible. And I love that people, you know, decide to make a night of it, to pay for the tickets,
put the phones away,
to go out to dinner, put the phones away and watch an actual show. And, you know, watch somebody that came to them. Like, you know,
right.
Not necessarily watching me in a movie or on television.
He blew me away during the break. So I asked him, so TJ went to G-Dub. And we asked mm-hmm. him, like, how mm-hmm. his odyssey, how he got there. And he talked about, well, it was like one of the few schools accepted me. But that's, like, by the way, a great school.
Well, yeah, and it's a great school, but they did give me a scholarship. And that's the reason I went.
Excellent.
And I met my wife, and she also got a scholarship. So thank you. Yeah, free money. We couldn't turn it down.
Who would? Yeah. So, and then I'm like, and then he did, like, comedy troupe stuff. Of course, he did Second City. I believe I read that too. In
he also studied Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Right.
He's so much more well-rounded than
that's
us.
Really worked
but
out.
But here's the thing that blew me away.
All my films with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. I'm like, well, how did you choose? Like, when you went to G-Dub, did you know you're going to do comedy? And he's like, well, I was, were you a psychology major at one point?
Yeah, I am. I graduated as a psychology major.
And he's like, I can impact maybe 100 people.
By the way,
people.
You have that in common with him. Now, he picked that because it was the easiest major. He thought,
that
no,
it's a pretty easy major.
I only needed
like, in terms of the number
credits.
Of credits.
It's
yeah.
pretty
major
easy. It's a pretty easy
mass
major.
Mass communications.
Yeah. Or
that's what I chose.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Or American studies, which just means something. You know, no one exactly knows.
No, but when he decided he was going to get into comedy, he said, I could be a psychologist, and maybe you know, if I'm lucky, I impact 100 people in my career.
100 or, to 500,
yeah.
Figure.
But or in comedy, you know, I can affect, you know, maybe 500,000, whatever people,
millions of people for
every
between 2 minutes and an hour and a half. I mean, you know, we do these movies. You know, I got so much hatred about the Emoji Movie. So much online hatred. Okay.
Why? It made a lot
and,
of money,
it's all,
though, didn't it?
Oh, of course.
Did
yes.
Well.
Of course. Of course. And children love it.
Right. Right.
I had a family of four. The guy comes up to me at a Manhattan restaurant and he goes, yeah, I just want to tell you, I wouldn't do this usually, but I saw Office Christmas Party last night and I just loved it. And my wife and I love it. And we're here with our two daughters and their favorite movie is the Emoji Movie. Would you go over and say hello? And I just couldn't believe that I had taken care of that entire family.
Well, even more,
I had made that entire family laugh. One with like the most ridiculous, the Emoji Movie. It has the word movie in it, and one with Office Christmas Party, which is nearly the most R-rated thing I've ever done. Well,
even more far-fetched than what you did for them is Office Christmas Party helped get one of the guys behind the glass there, helped him close the deal with the lady.
Hey, so there it is.
Office Christmas Party was a conduit for him.
See, I figured.
See what you're doing? You're impacting another life here.
I figured millions of people. Look at this, right? He's plugging
so
in.
So excited. He's so excited.
So first of all, I have to hear the story.
And where is the Office Christmas Party in your stupid pool?
Well, it's actually
what type of seed?
A 15 seed.
It's
now,
a 15 seed. That's disrespectful.
And his pool.
It could offset.
Don't tell me the pool because it'll just make me sad.
I feel like 80%.
Oh, well, okay. And Deadpool 2 should be also, I hope. Yeah.
So
where's Ready Player One?
I had a first date, and this girl said she wanted to go to the movies. I took her out for a few drinks, and then we went to see Office Christmas Party. She got Sice for You in the Santa suit.
Right.
There it is.
She was laughing the whole time, giggling, touching my arm.
Well,
we went home.
It's an aphrodisiac.
And I hit the skins. Office Christmas Party,
but when was that?
It's an aphrodisiac.
And that never happens for me.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. It's an outlier.
I mean, how many times has that happened for you?
Right. I mean, she never hit me up again. But
I got to say this, though. If you're going to take a girl to a movie, take her to Office Christmas Party. Don't take her. I don't think that would have happened if you guys had seen Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I feel like the end of that would have just been like a hearty hand clasp, and you both would have gone to your respective places to cry.
Right.
Instead, if you get them laughing, yeah, that's very exciting.
She was laughing so much that at the end of the movie, I mean, it was a done deal.
She forgot
who
you were.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. See, if she
forgot she was with him.
I don't think, if I had been a psychologist, a psych major, I don't think I ever would have like a session with someone and they're like, and I got laid because of that. Right. It was such a good session that I just went home and hit the skins, as you said, which I guess you can say on terrestrial radio.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, it looks like you're up against Wolf of Wall Street.
That makes me feel so good.
Yeah, I mean, the combination of you and Jason Bateman just got
that just got to her. And Jennifer Aniston's very stern haircut.
Yeah. Mm. So, TJ, I've got a March Madness bracket here. I mean, it's a big project coming up.
Are you going to harass him right now?
It sounds like it.
Going to fill it out, and I just want you to take a look at it.
Right.
Maybe you're interested in filling it out.
I can feel by the tone of your voice that everyone is irritated by this. Yeah. And that's not a dig on you, but even the listeners now are like, oh, it's bracket time. Okay, great. That's
you're
just
very
what we
perceptive,
need.
It is March Madness.
So by the way, it's kind of disrespectful that Office Christmas Party is a cross out.
Best movies since.
It's a write-in.
It's a write-in.
And you know, I got crossed out is Oliver Linings, which I think is a porn. That must be pornographic. Oliver Linings.
Do you have other of TJ's movies in
there? Yeah, so Deadpool plays Inglourious Basterds in the first round. That's a tough matchup, but I've got Deadpool moving on.
Yeah, I think Deadpool moves on from that. Those are two very different films, though. How did you choose this?
So the host and I who do the
show—they're random guys. I know, but I do.
So Deadpool and Inglourious Basterds, though, are both like action comedy, so it kind of works out.
Sort of, and they are, I'll use your word, outliers in the sense that...
I don't know if I'd ever call Inglourious Basterds a comedy.
About the holidays.
To Jewish people, it's very funny.
Yeah. I love the way that you're Inglourious Bast, like to fit it into the brackets. Yeah. Like Budapest Hotel has no space in between.
He's also a very poor speller.
Yeah, that's true. Because Zombieland and Gladiator are misspelled here.
That's so embarrassing.
That is so strange. Do you have the wrestler against Toy Story 3?
Yeah. Yeah. It's
why?
Random matchups. I mean, that's the way
you come up with the seeding, though. How did you come up with
it? So, all the movies with an A next to them in mind.
How could it win? I mean, how can you be like, you know what? Between the wrestler and Toy Story 3, I prefer the wrestler slowly dying.
The funniest part about all of this is that TJ graduated, as we talked about. Yeah. With a BA in psychology, with a concentration in situation theory, and this bracket is confusing.
This bracket is so insane.
TJ,
Hurt
it's meant
Locker
to be
versus Django Unchained, and there's room for Unchained, and you didn't write it in.
People know about Django.
History violin. That's is that the documentary about the history of violence?
Yeah, exactly. So you're supposed to look at it and be like, which of these two movies would I watch if they were on TV at the same time?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, then I guess I could move through these Straight out of Compton over Step Brothers. I don't know. I mean, it's what mood are you in? Do you turn on the you're like, okay, it's The Wrestler or Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
And you're like, there is no Wrestler 2 or 3. I guess I'll go with Toy Story. Benji Button, dude. I'm not going to look at this anymore. That is ridiculous.
All right, get out of here. You Benji, get
I do like Benji Buttons. But see, even you saying that, that completely confirms me becoming a comedian in the sense that the end of your night, in the sense that at the end of his night was he had a great night at the movies.
Yep, he did.
And then he had a great night between the sheets.
Yes! Right.
Perfect. And hit the skins. I had never heard of that.
It's kind of our thing.
Really? Yeah. I never really heard of that term, but I went to a mostly black and Latino high school and they said, hitting skins and getting the skinny. And I was in Music Man because I was a real tough dude. I did musical theater.
Yeah.
And just dancing about in my little tap shoes. And I mean, that's how hard I work. I'll do anything. I'll go to Shakespeare classes. I'll do musicals. That's how I met Kate, is in Chorus Line. And, you know, but we did the Music Man. And the last performance, you always kind of mess with the other actors and change the lines. And the lead actress, Reagan Linton, who's an incredible actress who lives in Denver, she said, she has this big speech, and halfway through the speech, she goes, before he came to town, sure, of course there was a lot less skinny. Of course people were hitting the skins less. But the thing, and none of the parents caught it at all. And we could barely keep it together on stage. I mean, it was ridiculous.
What were your spots in D.C. when you were here? Where did you go out to?
You know, it's interesting. We sort of drank.
Because I think you were a frat guy.
Well, my fraternity. Yeah, I'm not really a frat guy, but I'm wearing fashion frame glasses right now, guys. Okay, I'm not a frat guy. I joined, you guys have all seen Animal House, of course.
Of course, yeah.
I joined a fraternity that was much like the John Belushi fraternity. Mm-hmm. They barely, you know, even now I stopped by last night and they were like, we only have 2 pledges. We may have to shut down. They've been saying that since I pledged and got it. So, you know, what it ended up being, truly, what it ended up being was 10 of my friends who all lived on the same floor freshman year in Thurston Hall. We were like, let's all join this fraternity and kind of take it over and have it just be a place where we all can hang. And that's what it ended up being. But we were really...
So you still could just show up last night? It's cool? And like, did they freak out?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is interesting. They, throughout my life, they've reacted differently. But now it's this really weird thing where they just sort of, you know, they know that I'm in the fraternity. I do stop by when I'm... But, you know, again, they're always like, we only have 2 pledges left. We don't know what to do.
Life support.
But we, you know what it is that we were the kind of fraternity. This is why I don't feel like a frat guy. We were the sort of fraternity where none of this is real. None of the sororities wanted to have a mixer with us. So we had, I don't know if you know anything about Greek life. Exactly. The whole point of it is to have these mixers with sororities and meet women.
Yeah.
And it just, no sorority liked us enough, or it was like, you know, it would have been bad for their reputation. Right, exactly. It was just crickets when it came to mixers. But we threw the best parties because we're off campus. And so that's the same thing. So the GW couldn't sort of interfere with us because it was private property. And so we threw the best parties for a while. And then now I said to them, well, why do you only have 2 pledges? And one guy who graduated who was there said, well, it's because you only had a party every week instead of more than one party every single week. And I just think that's so funny that's like that. That is what we were.
Whoever.
We were every couple days. We had a huge party, a highlighter party or some sort of, you know, ridiculous Edward 40 hands party. but I think a while ago, even before it was legal, they became known as kind of the marijuana fraternity.
Mm.
And so I think that slowed down the party planning.
Yes, right. On everything.
I think a lot of times they're like, all right, well, let's smoke a little and then, you know, decide when the party's going to be. Cut to, they've seen DeJang on chain and Benji Button. And they're like, what were we talking about? Were we talking about a party or throwing something?
By the way, the rest of 2018 and into 2019, busy for TJ Miller.
Yeah, Ready Player One comes out at the end of this month. And it's a fantastic movie. And then I really am excited for Underwater. Deadpool 2, of course, very excited about. And I think the script for Deadpool 2 was even funnier than the first one, right, which is not something that I've said about everything. Transformers 4 was not funnier than Transformers 1. I don't think necessarily.
Probably not.
Necessarily. But Underwater, Kristen Stewart, they kind of offered me, it's sort of a disaster film like Cloverfield, and they offered me the part, and I had only seen Kristen Stewart in Twilight. That's it. So I kind of was like, I think that's weird. And Kate said, no, I Kristen Stewart's one of the best actresses working today. But she had never seen Twilight. She'd only seen the other stuff that Kristen Stewart was in. So I decided, I took the movie, and man, is she the real deal.
Really?
I mean, it's Vincent Cassell is also an amazing, he was the director in Black Swan. And so he's the real deal too. But she really, like, the second they say, you know, action, she just like flips a switch and becomes a completely different person. It's totally amazing. And she was really cool to hang out with. So I like that. And then How to Train Your Dragon 3, the end of that franchise, which nice. I'm kind of sad about because I think there's a lot of kids that grew up. Because
yeah.
It was also a Netflix show and it was on Cartoon Network and I was the voice of all of that. And so I think for a lot of kids, that was, you know, 4 or 5. Now it's going to be 6 years of their life. And, you know, if that was their favorite movie, but it's so funny because I'm also in the Disney cult and because I did Big Hero 6 and we're best friends with Roy Connolly and Mary Sherwood. Mary's like really good friends with my wife because they're both artists and Roy is a executive producer at Disney and he executive produced Frozen.
Nice.
And it is amazing to watch a kid watch Frozen.
Right.
And I travel a lot, so I saw a lot of, you know, I see a lot of backpacks with Frozen on them. That's another thing. It's so weird how
gotta get a film, piece of that action to get.
Dude, no, but a film, yeah, I wish. If I got even a penny for every single Frozen backpack, I would be the richest man on the face of the planet. No, those, the animated films, you do those for like union wage. You do them for minimum wage.
It's crazy. And they kill it.
And sometimes, and they absolutely kill it. But you become a part of, we all remember like the first, you know, big kids movie that we saw. For me, it was actually Roger Rabbit. And then later it was Dick Tracy. So that's sort of strange.
They
weren't.
Away.
But I think for a lot of like girls, Frozen is like the most important thing in their life. Yeah.
All right, TJ, I wish you could hang out with us the whole show. We have
me
a,
too.
And you're more than welcome to.
I need to figure out this bracket situation.
We got a guest.
I want to stay here
next.
And talk brackets.
All right, give it a mention again for people who want to get tickets.
It's ArlingtonDraftHouse.com. TJ Miller, the tickets are sold out for today. But
come tomorrow, come Saturday.
On Saturday, ArlingtonDraftHouse.com.
And there are no tickets available for Sunday because there's no show.
Yeah, correct. That makes sense.
So don't show up on a Sunday unless you want to see what's going on there.
It's the great TJ Miller.
Thank you, guys.
Our pal John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, Virginia, or at golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf on and off the course. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
Hello, John.
Sounds doing like great. You're driving.
I am. I'm on my way to a radio studio to record my CBS Minutes.
Oh, Jesus. So
what
where
I have
are
to
you?
Do when I'm on the road? I'm in Pittsburgh. I know you guys never reach this bad. I'm in Pittsburgh.
You said he's in Pittsburgh.
He's in Pittsburgh for the NCAA tournament.
Okay, I got you. No, I mean, I read it online now. Well, they don't pay for it anymore, John. They cut us off.
I think John might have
cut you off. Oh, you mean you guys would have to pay for the post so you can't read the post?
Well, I read it online, but I you know, the experience is much different reading it online, to be honest with you.
It is. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. That's why I get the papers in the morning, and that's the first thing I do in the morning is read the papers.
Yeah, but if you got up at 4:20, your paper wouldn't be delivered.
That's a good point. Although I've gotten up at certainly as early as 5 in the paper's been there. I don't know about 4:20.
Yeah, 4:20 though. When you leave, trust me, I get the paper at my house. It is not delivered by the time I leave.
It depends on your newspaper guy. I used to deliver papers. The deadline was 6:30, and believe me, I got them in right around 6:30.
Yeah, it does depend where you are on the route.
Yeah, it also, it's gotten earlier. It's gotten earlier because of computerized production and things like that. But I hear what you're saying. I understand. But the answer to your question is I'm in Pittsburgh. I saw one really good game yesterday and a couple of blowouts.
Right. What has jumped out at you so far? Anything? I mean, I'm having a hard time getting worked up for this.
Well, I think Arizona's lost last night. Not just that they lost, but that they got blown out. Was pretty shocking. It looked like they had come through all the FBI stuff and that ESPN report and had it under control when they won the Pac-12 tournament. I guess what that is a reflection of is just how bad the Pac-12 was this year. We're one day into the real tournament, and they're gone. They're out of the tournament. And they got killed. Buffalo's a pretty good team. I watch them a lot on Friday nights because they play those MAC games on Friday nights. They're a pretty good team. Nate Oates is a good coach. So wasn't stunned they won the game, was stunned they won the game so easily. And then I saw Trae Young's last college game yesterday here in Pittsburgh, and he's terrific, I got to tell you. But the rest of that Oklahoma team, you know, would finish about fifth of the Patriot League, I think.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I actually thought, though, that he was hyped up so early this season, and maybe he'll end up being a great player, that I kind of question where he is. He did have a solid game yesterday. I think he hit 9 of 18, and there's a lot of pressure there. But, you know, the comparisons to Steph Curry, like, the bar is so high.
Right. Well, you know, it's ESPN. I mean, they just overhype people, you know, the minute they show any kind of talent or potential, because they want to hype them for the NBA, for the draft, for the lottery, for playing in the league next year. I mean, it's ridiculous what they do, and you're right. When they started 14-2, everybody was comparing him to Steph Curry, which is unfair. Mm. I mean, Steph Curry is unique, but I'll tell you what, he is a talent. He's a talent. He's unbelievably quick with the basketball. He's a really good passer, and he has an unusual shot that he may have to change when he gets to the NBA. But he's a good outside shooter. He's not Steph Curry. I mean, who is? But he's terrific. He was a lot of fun to watch. It was not a great game. It was a very competitive game, went into overtime, and Rhode Island won it. And I think Rhode Island will give Duke a hell of a game tomorrow. I really do.
What do you make of all the player movement, the flurry of activity this week? Of course, the Redskins had made a trade prior to free agency, but they end up with Alex Smith. But Kirk ends up in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time of year when all this stuff happens, right? When they start the official new season. Kirk did pretty well for himself, didn't he? Yeah. And I don't think anybody's surprised. I think that if there's a surprise, it's that all the money's guaranteed. That's kind of unprecedented. But it's sort of like signing a 6-year contract with half of it guaranteed. And we figured he'd be right in that Jimmy Garoppolo area. In terms of year-by-year contracts, and that's exactly where he is. So good for him. I mean, they're going to be a very good team next year. I mean, they came within one game of the Super Bowl, and I think Kirk is a better quarterback. Hmm. I don't think Kirk's a great quarterback. You know, we've all talked about this before, but I think he's a good quarterback. I think Alex Smith's a better quarterback than Kirk. I think Washington did very well for itself.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Alex had his presser yesterday. And as JP says, these pressers mean nothing. And especially if you're a fan, you get fired up for everyone you ever see.
This team won March a lot in the last 20 years.
Yeah, but you know what? Those are some fun marches. Because it's not fun during the season.
No.
But I really did enjoy it, and I guess I am taking a shot at Kirk a little bit, but my BS meter was very low with Alex. This guy is a grizzled pro, been around. We know who he is. I didn't feel like he was an Eddie Haskell by any stretch. I think he might be snowed a little bit when he said, you know, this organization's all about winning and stuff. I don't think he quite understands Bruce yet, but he'll get there. I don't know. I liked him. I liked when he said he wasn't going to go work out in the offseason just so he could put it on social media and Instagram. You know, that's not what it's about. I just really like the contrast, and I don't know. I think they're in good hands. I think they luck boxed into one here.
Yeah, well, as you know, I worked with him all season on this quarterback book. And you're right. He is a genuine guy. He's a very smart guy. You know, he graduated from college in 2 years.
Which is insane.
And, yeah, I know it is. He had 9 AP credits when he got to college. Oh. And if he hadn't gone to Utah, he was going to go to Harvard.
That's just crazy.
He was not highly recruited. He was a 2-star recruit. And it came down to Harvard or Utah. And the only reason he didn't go to Harvard was, to him, postseason bowl games and stuff was a big part of college football when he was growing up, and he wanted to be able to play postseason, and the Ivy League doesn't let you play postseason. Otherwise, he'd have been at Harvard with Ryan Fitzpatrick, by the way, which would have been pretty interesting. But he's really he's a first class guy. He's a genuine leader. Being in the Chiefs locker room this year, there's no doubt about who the leader of that football team was. And I think, like you said, they blundered into one here. He's really the real deal.
Yep,
John, I think so.
Let's
shift over to the Capitals for a second. They get a win last night against the Islanders. It's no great feat. The Islanders are at the bottom of the Metro. Face them again tonight. But Philip Grubauer is the story. He gets another win last night. Looks like he's supplanted Braden Holtby in net for the Capitals. Are you surprised by that? And do you think he's the type of guy that can help the Caps go on a deep run during the postseason?
My honest answer is I don't know, because we've really never seen him in postseason, except for a spot here and there. My gut feeling is still, if the Capitals want to go deep, they're going to need Holtby to come back and be Holtby. Now, maybe, you know, Grubauer turns out to be Ken Dryden. You know, although he's not a rookie like Dryden was in 71, but maybe he's guy who all of a sudden blooms and becomes a star and has a great playoff run. We know goalies can do that. Remember when Yaroslav Halak did that to the Caps back in 2010. But I'm not sure what's wrong with Braden Holtby, because I don't know enough about the techniques of playing goal. But I do know he's been one of the best goalies in hockey for 5 years, and I don't think you just lose that overnight. Goalies go through slumps, like pitchers and hitters go through slumps and shooters go through slumps. But my gut feeling is that when the playoffs come around, they're going to need Holtby.
I'm sure you didn't watch much of Tiger yesterday involved with basketball. I'm now willing to say I believe he's going to be number one in the world again. I think I've seen enough.
You can say that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I'm going to be proven correct on it. It's unbelievable what he still has left in his game at 42. Of course, this all is if he could stay healthy. But
is he leading the tournament? Did I miss something?
Yeah, he's in a tournament.
No, he said, did he win a tournament?
Is he leading the tournament?
No, he was briefly. A
couple shots back.
He was briefly, but he's a few
he's
back.
Four he's shots a, back.
Yeah, he's right
four
there.
Four shots back.
He's right there. I don't think Henrik Stenson is going to shoot another 64 today, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're probably right. That one you're right about. I don't think he will either.
Yeah.
I think you're jumping the gun. I think there's, look, what he's done in this comeback, this finally appears to be a real comeback, not one where he'll limp off the golf course after, you know, two rounds or his glutes aren't going to fire.
Yep.
I thought the most encouraging thing for him was that he was willing to go and play Tampa last week and step out of his comfort zone and played well. Bay Hill is obviously a place where he's comfortable. He's won there 8 times. But I think he's going in the right direction. I do think that people like you are jumping the gun. I mean, let him win a tournament. Let him contend in a major. And then talk to me about being number one. I don't think he cares about being number one in the world again, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know that he does either.
The only thing that would matter to him is to try to win another major. That's what matters to him. I'll point out to you, Phil Mickelson has never been number one in the world.
Right, right.
And he's in the Hall of Fame with 5 majors. So being number one in the world is Lee Westwood has been number one in the world.
Yeah, well, it's okay. Well, we can mock it, and I understand it's not important to Tiger, but I would still argue it is a measure of success that Tiger has dominated before. He just happens to dominate every category other than majors behind Jack. And I just think it's a measure that he's going to get there. I specifically didn't say he's going to win a major, although I think he's probably likely to. But I definitely believe he'll hit number one again. For whatever it's worth. If you think it's nothing, it's nothing. But I do think it's something.
Well, I think if you had Tiger on the show right now, he'd say to you, my goal is to win the Masters. My goal is to win the U.S. Open.
Of course.
And if you said number one, he'd say, well, if that's a byproduct of winning major championships, that's fine.
I agree with that. I wouldn't argue it, but I just say it's a measure. You know, the problem Tiger set the bar so high by making Jack, you know, in that record, the thing. He doesn't get enough credit, in my opinion, for the 79 wins, the 40 European Tour wins, all the FedEx things, all that other stuff that he's done, the winning 51% of his starts for three straight years, being number one for so many weeks. Everyone says it's just about the majors, but, you know, it's just Tiger just set the bar too high. All of those other things are incredible accomplishments.
Well, okay, first of all, as you said, Tiger's the one who set that bar.
Definitely.
Okay, number one.
It's his fault.
Number two, I think everybody understands. That's why I always say he's the greatest player of all time.
Yeah, I like that you say that.
I say it all the time. For some of those numbers that you just cited.
Yeah.
Not just the 79 wins, but 9 years with 5 wins or more.
It's crazy.
I mean, are you kidding me? 5 wins is a good career for most guys. And all those other numbers you cited makes me, and many others, I think, well, there's this sort of, somebody tweeted the other day from Golf Channel, because Golf Channel is totally in Tiger's pocket, that when they tweeted about the TV ratings, that, you know, because they were great in Tampa, as you know, geez, I guess nobody cares about Tiger, right? Who in the heck said nobody cares about Tiger? People are setting up these straw men like nobody cares about Tiger. No, everybody knows that a lot of non-golf fans do care about Tiger. That's why the ratings spike the way they do when he's playing well. So there are all these straw men being set up. Tiger Woods is the greatest player of all time. That's why whenever you and others said to me, is he done? I said, you never count out the elite of the elite. And mm-hmm. Tiger is the elite of the elite.
Yep.
So if he comes back and wins a tournament, or if he wins a major, that's a remarkable comeback. But I don't think it stuns anybody who's watched him play over the last 20 years.
I think people did give up on him. I think a lot of people did.
Oh, a lot of people did.
Most.
No, a lot of people did.
Most.
A lot of people did give up on him.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, but that doesn't mean anybody stopped caring about him.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, every time he made one of those aborted comebacks, I mean, Golf Channel was showing his freaking practice rounds.
Right.
So, yeah, people didn't stop caring about him, but you're right. Quite a few people thought he was done.
Yeah.
But, again, that's why, you know, Nicklaus won the Masters at 46, and Jimmy Connors almost won the U.S. Open at 39. And we all know the list of truly, truly elite athletes who have done things that others simply can't even think about doing.
We got to let you go, but we asked John Daly this. We just happened to have John on, I think it was yesterday. And I happen to agree with this, and I said this to Tiger, the one chance I had to talk to Tiger 5 years ago. I think guys can't, what do you think the window is for these guys, this generation of guys, and I put Tiger in there, they're so fit now. John said he thinks Tiger can win until he's 55. And I happen to think Tiger and Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson and all these guys that say fit and active the way they have, I think that that's true.
Well, I'll say yes. I would say closer to 50. But, you know, you can pick a number. But the flip side of it is all these guys who are such workout freaks and are in such great shape, why are they injured all the time?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can overdo it. There's no doubt. There's
yeah,
no doubt.
Exactly.
Yep. All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Sorry I got to you late. Just one of those things. Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Yep, you too. Enjoy Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not cold. Not cold.
What do you think
Pittsburgh right
John
now?
Feinstein's favorite TJ Miller movie is?
It's not Yogi Bear. I guarantee you that.
Think he's a big Office Christmas Party fan?
I don't know. Not sure.
How was dealing with John before he came on?
He was very rigged.
He likes to be very punctual. He's not very flexible when if we run late. That's all.
Hey, you know, this is live radio, man. Stuff happens.
Join us right now from L.A. is our pal Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter for Fox 5.
Why does it say JP. John Feinstein? Is that still? Oh, there it is.
Okay.
Hey, Kevin.
He's on Skype. I got gotcha. You. Hey, buddy.
Where are you?
Morning,
you in the
guys.
Hotel right now? We can see your backdrop. It's just a bunch of curtains.
Yeah, I'm in my hotel. I'm in L.A. I'm covering up.
Can we see your
films.
View? Can you open up the curtains so we can see your view?
Hopefully it's like the top of the hotel with a bunch of air conditioning units.
No, it's dark here, guys.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, it's literally
I want to see your room.
Okay, it's dirty. I have like my stuff around, but I'll show it to you guys. Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
What if his like undies? What if he had like tissues next to the bed?
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Is there anything hurt? Is there anything hurt?
Yeah, why is there lotion?
What did you do to that bed?
Yeah, you mauled the bed. God.
Come on, Kevin, I'm with you. It's a hotel. Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah, something special. Yeah.
Again, are you sure that's not one of those little towels over there by the floor?
No. I'm actually a very strange sleeper. I move a lot. So,
clearly.
If you look at the bed, actually, Lauren and I sleeping together at home, obviously. So this side of the bed actually is fine. Right. There's where Lauren would sleep.
So you don't sleep in the middle when you have a bed by yourself?
No. I still sleep on my... I'm actually in a box.
You like your side. I'm with you.
Yeah, I think most people do what you do. They sleep
really?
On their side. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a right side.
So
you get a big, silly king size to yourself. You're still going to be on the same stupid side.
Who sleeps in the middle?
The middle's weird. In the middle. The middle, I like to spread out.
No, here's the thing, because I'm 6'3", so I still hang off the bed anyway, so I actually sleep kind of sideways anyways. Yeah.
I think 6'3" is hype.
Plus the biggest waist of 6'3" ever. The least athletic 6'3" on the planet.
I think maybe 6'3" with heels on. Yeah.
He's got Baker Mayfield list tight.
Yeah.
Eric, you do the side of the bed bit too.
Of course.
I think it's I don't know what it is. I don't.
Drabby, what do you do? Drabby, you got a king size bed yourself in Florida. Are you on the one side or are you in the middle?
I go right down the middle.
You're a middle guy.
We're in the middle. And by the way, occasionally,
I will
sleep on the other side of the bed.
I might do the other side.
With my wife.
Okay. Well,
I think it's a mental thing. I feel like I want to keep the other pillows there.
Valdez,
I don't know why.
Are you a middle or a side guy? By yourself.
Side.
Yeah. I think the middle is the outlier.
Side is box thinking.
No, side is comfort.
It's your
routine.
Comfort. It's routine. It's your
comfort
zone.
Bunch of box thinkers.
Yeah.
We were talking about this. Is Black Panther not going to be number one this weekend for the first time? Is Tomb Raider going to knock it out?
It's black.
I don't know. I'm hearing the opposite. I'm hearing Black Panther might be number one again. I'm like the fifth time in a row. But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, Tomb Raider doesn't have a ton of momentum behind it right now. By the way, you guys had TJ Miller in studio this morning.
He was awesome.
Saw his new,
very cool.
He was
I just
great.
Saw his new movie last night. He was amazing in it.
Ready Player One? That's a Spielberg movie.
Yeah, he plays I-Rock in that film. He's actually probably the funniest character in the movie. His lines are amazing. He's a really good actor. I've known him for a couple of years. From
Big Time.
Does he know you? Personally. Actually, he does follow me on Twitter. So he probably does know me.
Follow you on Twitter.
You know what? John Daly follows me. Big deal. He follows 160,000 people.
Well, I think that TJ Miller, I've interviewed him a bunch of times over the years. So he's in Deadpool is like a really, really big movie for him. So
he'd be loved him in Deadpool.
And can't stop raving about it.
He's in Ready Player One, what I would say, without knowing, but my guess is Steven Spielberg must like him because he mentioned that when he did She's Out of My League,
right.
Steven Spielberg was actually a producer.
That's crazy. It's weird. I saw Ready Player One last night, and it's like the geekiest, like, it's just a movie that I've been waiting for essentially my whole life. And TJ Miller is a big part of it. So he's like a big get to get studio because he's like a huge star. He's also, did he talk about Deadpool 2 at all? Did he mention Deadpool 2?
He just said it's a very good script. He said it's funnier than the first.
Oh my God. I can't wait for Deadpool.
He actually gave us a sneak preview of the trailer before anybody else saw it.
Yeah, I'm sure he did that. I'm sure Ryan Reynolds would allow that. Yeah. Wait, how long did you guys have him in studio for?
He was here for 40 minutes.
Way longer than we're going to have you. I know that.
That's awesome, man. That's cool. Yeah, he's a good get to have in studio. That's really cool.
All right, so tell us about Tomb Raider, which is the big movie, which maybe won't be number one. I thought it was going to be the number one movie this weekend.
Yeah, I saw that and Love, Simon. So Tomb Raider is, listen, JP, it still could be number one.
Okay.
It's just a theory of whether or not Black Panther might, could make over 30 million this weekend. We'll see. I've heard tracking numbers for Tomb Raider at 20, but you never know. I mean, I thought the Tomb Raider movie was a lot of fun. I was pure nonstop action, but I also love Alicia Vikander. She was great in Ex Machina. She won an Oscar for The Danish Girl. We all know Angelina Jolie had this role back in the early 2000s. This is a much different film. It's a lot more brutal, a lot more immersive, a lot more intense, in my personal opinion. She's sells the role because of the way she performs it. It feels like you're in the action scenes with her because of the way she acts in those moments, the screaming, the grunting, whatever the character is doing. But yeah, it's an origin story. It's based primarily on the 2013 video game. To me, it's the best video game adaptation I've seen. That's not really saying much because most video game movies are not great. Generally, they're very bad. This one worked. I also love Walton Goggins, who you're seeing here on camera now. You probably know him from like Justified and The Shield and Vice Principals and Sons of Anarchy. He's a great actor, probably most known in The Hateful Eight and like Django Unchained. He was great in those movies. He plays the villain of the film. But Alicia Vikander's amazing. Her husband actually did a video game a year and a half ago called Assassin's Creed, which was terror villain of the film. But Alicia Vikander's amazing. Her husband actually did a video game a year and a half ago called Assassin's Creed, which was terrible. So I'm interested to see how Alicia pulled off her role. It's a much better video game film. Her husband's Michael Fassbender. You know, he was Magneto in the X-Men films, and he was also in Glorious Bastards. But yeah, I liked it. I had fun with it. I've seen it twice now. Dominic West is in it. He's great. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I do recommend it if you're an action fan. It definitely delivers exactly what an action movie should. But don't get too caught up in, like, some of the script could be worked on a little bit. But, you know, it wasn't like a great film. It was
sounds
fun,
like a Cakes, you know, movie, actually.
No, I'd actually rather be in a tomb of my own than
really
go see Tomb Raider.
But you usually personally see those type of blockbuster movies.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be in on Tomb Raider. Wasn't in on the Jolie version of it, and I don't think I'm in on Vikander, though I do like her.
By the way, I've never seen anyone more interested in anything in my life than Eric Bickle right now. Like, he looks so excited about this segment. I'm like looking at his face, and I'm like,
I'm going to be honest,
Eric,
with
how are you.
How
you feeling right now?
I like the intro song more than the segment, but that's just me.
It's a muted excitement for
me. Here's a question. What movie did he just review?
Can't remember. I wasn't listening.
JP!
So when Kevin comes on, I check my Twitter. I'm not really into the movies.
But you still couldn't gather the movie, which is going to be big?
I didn't listen to it.
How about the actress
Eric,
in it?
Eric,
who's she married to?
Is the gray hair growing in your ears already, Eric? Sorry. That's why you can't hear the review, Papa Squeeze.
All right, so it was Tomb Raider. You give it a 4 out of 5. The other movie, I forgot the name of
Love, Simon,
there
I believe.
There you go, Love, Simon. I've seen the trailers. It's so, like a sappy teen movie.
It's an amazing movie. It's actually my favorite movie of the year so far.
Wow. Look at that.
This is a John Hughes type film. It's essentially a young high school kid who's struggling with coming out to his family and his friends. And Nick Robinson plays the character. You know him probably from Jurassic World. He is so fantastic in the film. And Josh Duhamel's in it, Jennifer Garner, Catherine Langford from 13 Reasons Why. It's very, very much like a John Hughes movie. But yeah, it's a struggle with coming out to the world. And it's a really beautiful film that'll make you laugh. It'll make
you
want to
be gay with me?
I was laughing and crying the entire movie. It really is a wonderful film, worth seeing if you're into the John Hughes type of comedy. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. As of right now, today's date, it's the best movie I've seen so far. That's excluding Ready Player One because I can't review that until the 29th.
That's a dead giveaway. That means Ready Player One is going to be a 5 out of 5 for you.
I actually can say that I love Ready Player One. There's no embargo on that. Because if I hadn't seen Ready Player One last night, I'd be telling you Love, Simon's the best movie of the year right now, which it is technically coming out in theaters this weekend. But when Ready Player One hits,
it's a 5-star.
It's all. I can't wait.
Ready Player One is a geeky movie, kind of for you would not be into it, EB. It's kind of like nerdy.
Our guy's in it, though, right?
TJ Miller's in it, but it's also Spielberg, so you know that he's going to give it a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, true.
Well, Eric would love the movie. Eric, here's why. It takes place in the real world, but they go into a virtual reality world. And in the virtual reality world, there's the Iron Giant. There's references to like all these geeky science fiction film. You're gonna love it. It's all right up
here. You
think
he knows who the Iron Giant is?
How is Pacific Rim Uprising? Did he talk about that one yet?
No.
Oh, that's another Eric Bickle movie. Big robots, Transformers type action. Yeah. So
he talked about it last week, I think.
Oh, he did.
You have a lot. you have a lot coming up to see.
Your calendar's full.
Right.
So who are you interviewing?
There's a lot going on.
Hey, big time. Who are you interviewing today in L.A.?
Steven Spielberg.
Oh, that's which I'm pretty like, big time. Have you ever asked him for his thoughts on the DVD which you sent him?
No.
Yeah, your short film.
First of all,
Isn't that weird? Because here's the background for people that are new listeners. So Kevin interviewed Spielberg many times. And by the second or third time, Spielberg was kind of smitten with him. His enthusiasm.
His enthusiasm and his insight because he goes for those deep nuggets.
Right, right. So he said, Kevin, I think you have it. What do you want to do? Kevin said, well, I'd love to be a director like you. So long story short, Kevin did this little short film. And I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. And he sent it to Spielberg. And I'm not sure if he's watching it or whatever, and he called the assistant, and he's like, yeah, he's going to watch it, And now it's like been years, and you've interviewed him many, many times.
Kevin's afraid to ask him about it.
And you don't bring it up?
It's a drink coaster.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, well, first of all, I don't, he's Steven Spielberg, so I highly doubt he remembers ever seeing it. I know for sure that he watched it in 2012 or 2013, which
was
5 years ago.
His assistant told him.
I know. Well, it's not his assistant. It's somebody else, but I can't say on the air who it is. But
did you get notes? Feedback?
I got an email with what his thoughts were on the film.
Oh.
But now that it's been 5 years later, I don't, going into an interview and sitting down with him, I don't want to risk be like, hey, do you remember this? And the guy probably doesn't remember anything.
So he doesn't acknowledge, because there was a period of time there where he was remembering you every time you interviewed him. Now there's no acknowledgement of that.
Oh, no, he remembers me. I've interviewed him 6 times now, and at the end of my last interview I did with him last time, he was like, he remembered that it was our 4th film we've spoken about. It was pretty specific. But he remembers me when I talk to him, but I don't know if he remembers the movie he watched.
I'm sure he does, and he was disappointed, and he doesn't want to bring it up.
Can our listeners check out that movie? I'm going to give you a YouTube pop. I've forgotten. Yeah, what was the name of it, and where can people see it?
Just type in Bump, B-U-M-P, and then type in Steven Spielberg next to it, and then it'll come up. You'll see like
that's what I want to do this segment every time. Bump it.
Yeah. Pop a squeezy.
Right.
Squeezy Rick.
All right.
Well, you won't say that to Spielberg during your interview. Just start siding in JPs and Papas.
Hey, Eric, is your facial hair gray, too? I'm trying to look close here. I'm trying to see.
You're going to the well one too many times. It seemed like you did well the first one. I would back off. But if it was me, I would.
By the way, you're going to get there at some point. I've got grays coming in. They've been coming in for 10 years. You're going to get there.
I know. I already have gray hair coming in like underneath.
Thank you.
Perfect timing, Valdez.
Thank you.
That's Kevin. He gives Tomb Raider a 4. And he gives the other movie a 4.
And he's going to give Ready Player One 100 stars when it comes out.
Well, look, if it's a Tarantino movie or a Spielberg movie, he's going to deny it. He's going to give it a 5.
Yeah, he likes
five.
To ship his chips in on those.
Yes. Those are his guys.
Yep.
And you know what? Usually Spielberg puts, he's got a pretty good resume.
He does quality work for the most part.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.